church. First,
you guys want to watch it again? Maybe you didn't get it the first time. We'll go ahead and do that again. So a couple things before I get started preaching this morning. One is we have tickets for you to invite a friend or a family member or a neighbor to come with you to a Christmas Eve service or Christmas Eve service. So if you want to give those tickets out, grab some at the back on your way out. We'd love to have you do that. Number two, we are today celebrating communion at the end of this sermon. So the host team is going to come down right now with some buckets, and they got little self-contained communion units for you if you want to get one of those. This is not a new thing that we're doing. We're not going in a new direction. Just one time today, we're doing this. If you need one of these, Carl's got some right there, and we'll be glad to give them to you. But you're going to want one. You're going to want one for sure, so make sure you get one of those. Thirdly, tonight, 6 o'clock, is our family Christmas gathering. Come on back. There's no place more fun to be than right here tonight, 6 o'clock. I'm going to say one last thing before I begin. You may notice there's some beautiful flower arrangements up here on the platform, and I'm not going to pretend today with you that there wasn't a tragedy in our church. That November 27th, Black Friday as we call it, two of our young people were tragically killed in a car accident, Haley Meadows and Greg Long, and we had Haley's funeral on Friday. Greg's funeral was yesterday, and we're not going to pretend like that didn't happen. That did happen. It affects many of us here, certainly affects me, and just acknowledging that as we go forward today to let you know that those things have happened. So light out of darkness is our theme for Christmas. And really, the Bible talks a lot about having light that comes out of darkness. For example, it says in 1 Peter 2:9, it says this. Now, this is about you, so sit up and listen. Here you go. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So how many of you here, raise your hand, this has happened to you. You've been called out of darkness, and now you're in light in Christ. Just raise your hand. Yeah, it's you. Okay, hands back down. Now raise them again and make like an amen sound. Ready? Go. Okay, good. There we go. Right there. Yes, exactly. When called out of darkness into his wonderful light. And so here's the idea. If you're called out of darkness and into his light, it means that you're light in the world. You go to change the world. And let me just tell you, before Thanksgiving, we did something kind of phenomenal and awesome happened right here in our midst. Our church, partnering with Granville Christian Academy and with some help from Sunshine School as well, we actually were able to gather food supplies and teams and deliver meals on Thanksgiving to families that didn't have the funds to have their own Thanksgiving meal. Here's just a quick little video that I put together. Maybe a little less volume on this. There you see all the honey right there. You see all the food supplies getting ready to go in those baskets. There's all the bread right there. And you see all the baskets laid out right here in this room. That's what the baskets look like before they got the turkey in it, right there. You see all these families, these are GCA students and their parents there getting ready to take those out, deliver them. And here's all the turkeys in the back of that truck we had out there. And there's Pastor Gary. Give Pastor Gary a little hand if you guys don't mind. Give him a little hand. And we were able to get this. This is kind of exciting, so get excited about this. We were able to deliver 246 meals to families that couldn't afford one for Thanksgiving. How awesome is that? Right? But even as awesome as that is, we also were able to go into homes to bring light into darkness and to say, you know what? We love you and God loves you. And we're giving you this packet of this basket of food because God loves you and because we care about you and we gave prayer. We became light in the darkness. That's really what it's about. How do we serve people and how do we go forward in that way? Now here's the idea. Coming out of darkness means my life is changed because of Jesus. And so a question would be, how should my life look different? If before I knew Christ, I was in darkness, but now I have accepted Jesus Christ and now I'm light in the world, how should my life look different? And here's one thing that we understand in this Christmas season. Right there, the shepherds were in the field at night and the angels showed up, and this is what the angels said. Here's one thing that should be different. The angels said, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, say it with me, on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. In fact, today I lit that peace candle right over here. And one of the things that should be present in our lives is that we should have peace. Because we know Christ, there should be peace in our life when perhaps before there really wasn't peace in our lives. Peace is something that we all desire, we all want, and peace should be present because we know Jesus Christ. Now, a question you might have is simply this. Hey, Pastor Tom. Is God really concerned with my inner emotional life? Does God really care if I have peace or don't have peace? Is that really on God's agenda? I mean, there's like global terrorism and people dying of diseases and all kinds of things. Does God really care about my inner emotional life? I mean, we have emotions all the time like this. By the way, if you had this emotion in the last month, just raise your hand. How many guys have felt some fear in the last month? I certainly have, right? Or this emotion of anxiety. Who's had a little anxiety maybe in the last month? Okay, definitely me, right? Worry? How about some worry? Anything like that happening out there, right? How about frustration? Be honest. It's the holiday season, right? Exactly. And then how about this one? Anger. Who's felt some anger maybe in the last month, right? These emotions seem so normal to us. Fear, anxiety, worry, frustration, anger. They just seem like a normal part of life. And is it true that God wants to change our inner emotional life, that we should look different because of Jesus Christ? Let's just look at this for a second. The definition of peace in Webster's dictionary is this: peace, freedom of the mind from annoyance, distraction, or anxiety. Doesn't that sound nice? Freedom in the mind from annoyance, distraction, or anxiety. And that's why I tell you right now that when you think about peace, there's really two kinds of peace. There's what I'm going to call worldly peace, and then there's the peace of God. And worldly peace means, you know what? Everything around me is feeling peaceful, and because my circumstances are all peaceful, I'm feeling peace on the inside. And I just want to say, we all desire peace. Every one of us, we want peace. If you agree with that, just raise your hand. Do you agree with that? Right? We all want it. We all want to have peace on the inside. The worldly peace I'm talking about, I had a little bit of this last Christmas. I remember it so well. We had our room all decorated. How many guys have got your decorating all done for Christmas? You're all the way totally done. Three of you. Who still has more things to decorate? Anybody still have some? Oh, lots of you still to decorate. Right, exactly. We had our all decorated last year for Christmas, and we had our living room was just perfectly Christmassy. We had a big tree with lights, and we had candles and Christmas stuff all around. And there's something last year I discovered that I just love. Now, we have in my house, we have a fireplace, but I found something better than a fireplace. It's a channel on demand called The Yule Log. There it is, right there. I love it, right? We turn on The Yule Log. Tracy and I were sitting there with the TV was, you know, showing this fire. It wasn't hot. Didn't burn yourself on the Yule Log on TV. And then we put on some music. It's, you know, something like this. Have yourself. Oh, beautiful, baby. It was beautiful, right? And so my wife and I are sitting there, and it's a Sunday evening, and all the activities of the day have gone by. And we're starting to feel peaceful and warm and aglow. And I remember it so clearly. I just kind of adjusted myself. I didn't ask her, hey, we're married, right? I adjusted myself. I laid down my head in her lap, and she put her hand on my head. Be a little less volume, Jeff, if you don't mind. That's me, by the way, recording that in 1987. Just kidding, not true. I remember laying there and my wife putting her hands in my hair, and it was this peaceful moment. I was like, this is amazing. The next day I was like, honey, let's do the thing again where I lay down and you play with my hair, and that was so great. She's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. She forgot about the whole thing, right? But it was so peaceful. The entire environment was peaceful. The Yule log was burning without being hot, and I was laying there, and all my environment was peaceful. But you know, let me just tell you this. We all desire peace. And worldly peace means everything around me is just perfect for my peace. There's no traffic jams. There's no bills due. There's no things robbing my peace. And it's all just right. But when the Bible talks about peace, hey, listen up. When the Bible talks about peace, it's not talking about all your circumstances being perfect. It's talking about something different. Look what Paul says in Philippians 4 about a kind of peace called the peace of God. Now listen. And the peace of God which transcends understanding, or one translation says, which passes all understanding. It's a peace you cannot understand. Listen. Worldly peace, you can totally understand. Everything around me is peaceful. I'm on vacation. I'm on a beach. I'm at peace. But the peace of God is so very different. It transcends understanding. There is a peace that God wants to bring that you cannot understand. And it guards your hearts. And it guards your mind in Christ Jesus. That when things are not peaceful around you, you have peace on the inside. Here's what David says about it. Psalm 46, 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength. Listen, an ever-present help in trouble. Look at verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear. We will have peace, though the earth give way. Let me tell you this. In people's lives, people that I know and you know, people that we love, the earth often gives way. The earth gives way when a sheriff comes to your home in the middle of the night to tell you that your beautiful daughter's been in a car accident. The earth gives way when you get that diagnosis, as many of my friends have, of cancer, and you get the diagnosis and the earth is giving way. Yesterday was my father's birthday. He's been gone for 2.5 years. I recall the moment when my father's dementia was at such a level that we had a family meeting. And I was the family spokesman. I was the one looking into his eyes and saying, Dad, you can never drive again. Dad, you can never have access to money again. It's over. The earth was giving way. How many guys here have had the earth give way at a moment in your life? You know that feeling. The earth is giving way. But look what it says. We will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, because there is the peace of God that's accessible to us, not just when things are peaceful, but because we have Jesus Christ in our life. Amen. It's peace that sets us apart from the world. God's peace. Is God really concerned with my inner emotional life? Why does God care? Why does God care if I have peace or if I don't have peace? Let's just answer this question. Does God care? Does God want you to have peace? 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this. Paul says, may God himself, and then he gives us who God is. One name of God, one little portion of who God is. May God himself, the God, say it with me, of peace, sanctify you through and through. Let me just tell you this. 9 times in the Bible, God is referred to as the God of peace. You getting the picture here? God is the God of peace. In the Old Testament, Judges 6:24, God's name is revealed. One of God's names is Jehovah Shalom. God, our peace. God brings peace. God is peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Is God concerned about my inner emotional life? Does God really want me to live with a surpassing peace? How about verse 16? 2 Thessalonians 3:16. It's a big time verse. Here's what it says. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Here's what it says. May the Lord of peace himself, that's Jesus Christ himself, is the Lord of peace. And what's Paul say? He wants the Lord of peace to give you peace. Just imagine it. You're in a point of anxiety in your life, or fear, anxiety, worry, frustration is overtaking you. Anger is right there. And here's the idea, that in that moment of anxiety, fear, worry, anger, frustration, that Jesus Christ himself gives you peace. Why Jesus himself? Here's why. Because my friends, get ready for an amen on this one, by the way. My friends, we don't have a religion here. What we have is a relationship with Jesus Christ. The risen Jesus Christ gives us peace himself as a gift. He gives us peace. When? Paul says, at all times. Not just when you're laying on the couch and the music's playing and your wife's playing with your hair and everything's peaceful in the world. Not just when you're on vacation and the sun is just perfect and just right and everything's the way you want it to be in your life. Not just in those times. At all times. When the earth is falling into the sea. And when there's boredom and monotony day after day, doing the same old job, the same old things, that in all times and in every way, that God is giving you a surpassing peace in your life. John MacArthur says this about this verse in 2 Thessalonians. He says this. Paul uses the word himself. He asks, may Jesus Christ, the Lord, personally give you peace, because it comes personally from him. It is the very essence of his nature. God is love. We don't argue about that. And God is also peace. He has no lack of perfect peace in his being. God is never stressed. God never worries. God never doubts. And God never fears. You guys missed 4 amen opportunities right there. Don't worry. There's more coming. Don't worry. Don't worry. He's never indecisive. He's never unclear. He's never unsure. He's never threatened. God lives in perfect calm. God lives in perfect tranquility. God lives in perfect contentment. And his desire is to give it to you, that you would live in that very same peace. Let me ask you, do you really believe that? Is this just me talking today, perhaps a bit too fast? Is that all this is? You're sitting here listening. You know I'll be done in a couple minutes and you'll get out of here and that's going to be it. Or do you believe that I am literally giving you the words of life? And that maybe you've become content with something you should never have been content with. Maybe you become content with, you know what? My life's going to have worry and anxiety and fear. It's just going to happen. I'm okay with that. I'm content with that. I'm going to be frustrated sometimes. I'm going to be overwhelmed with anger sometimes. I'll just live that way. Could it be that Jesus Christ wants to give you the gift of peace in your life, even at the worst moments of your life? But you become content to say, well, I'll have peace when all feels good around me, but I'm not going to press in to have this gift that Jesus wants to give me. Maybe you're doubting the theology. Maybe you're like, Pastor Tom, I don't know if I believe that. Jesus wants to give me peace. Well, if you're doubting the theology, how about this verse? John 14:27. Jesus says to his disciples, and in chapter 17, he addresses us, future believers, and here's what he says. Peace I leave with you. Jump in here. My I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Think about it for a second. Maybe you've given in to the fact that, you know what, it's okay. I'm just going to live in fear. I'm just going to live with anxiety. I'm going to live with worry. You know, we see some things in our world right now that cause fear, anxiety, and worry, don't we? We see radical Islamic terrorism on the rise in the world. We see attacks like we saw in California this week that just blow your mind. How can that happen? People get an arsenal of weapons and just go in and kill people? Apparently in that story, the co-workers that were killed had given a baby shower for that couple. How can that happen? Fear might overtake you. Anxiety might overtake you. Someone told me this week right here in Central Ohio, they're a little afraid right now to go into a movie theater. I was like, don't be afraid of that. Unless it's a bad movie, then, you know, please don't go. But you know what? You don't have to be afraid. You have to live in fear right here, right now, because a few times that's happened in places in the world. But they're living with fear, living with anxiety, living with worry. Maybe your worry and anxiety is about other details in your life. I mentioned before about these two young people that passed away. I've had lots of parents this week tell me, they said, you know, Tom, I've given my children, I've given them some driving lessons. I've gone back over again some safe driving tips and habits. And we as parents, we're dealing with some fear right now. Haley and Greg were on their way back from Easton on that Black Friday when they passed. And my daughter and her friend Jamie were at Easton on that same day driving back. It lends itself to say, is there fear and anxiety and worry? Maybe it's just normal. Maybe it's just okay. But it's not okay if Jesus Christ wants to give you his peace at every time and in every way. Frustration, let's just stop on that one for a second. I think there's some of you in this room and maybe somebody up on this stage who's content to live with frustration as if it's a part of life, not understanding there's a place I can go in my faith where my frustration is burned away by the presence of God. How about an amen right on that one, right? Amen. Maybe I'm okay to live that way. Maybe you're okay to live that way. I'm just gonna be frustrated. In the world, you'll have frustration, and don't worry about it, it just is frustrating. No, that's not what it says. In the world, you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Maybe you're okay to live this way. Maybe you're just a frustrated person, and that's how you've always been, and you never even considered that God wants to take you to a place where your frustration is melted away by the fire of God. How about this one? Anger. I know a lot of really angry Christian people, and it shouldn't be that way. Those things should not go together. I'm an angry Christian person. No, it shouldn't happen that way. Because anger, the Bible says clearly, take care of your anger. You, before the sun goes down, take care of your anger. What's James say? James chapter 1. Anger does not produce the righteous life that God desires. Am I talking way faster than normal today? I feel like I am. Okay, you got to listen faster because I can't slow myself down. Next week I'll talk real slow, I promise. Next week, it's slow. Perhaps empty promises are not a good place here at church. I don't know. Maybe you're content with these things to say, it's just Tom, it's just how life is. Fear, anxiety, worry, frustration, anger. It's my normal place. God does not want you to dwell in these emotions. Now, I don't want you to feel guilty. I don't want you to feel bad. But some of you, it's not like a flash of fear. A flash of fear is natural, and then you got to fight it off. A flash of anxiety is normal. A flash of worry for a moment, for a second. Frustration, yes, that happens. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about, right? Frustration happens. You got kids, it happens. You got a job, it happens. You drive a car, you'll be frustrated for a moment. But are you content to dwell in it? Anger's going to come. But what do you do with it? Do you just wallow in it, enjoy it? Or do you push on, press on to God's peace? Let me just tell you something. This is big in my heart. Right now, today, right here, what I'm calling the paradox of peace. It's a sermon title today, by the way. The paradox of peace is very simply this. I want to see if you agree with what I'm saying. We all desire peace. Do you agree? And I just showed you that God offers us peace, but so few people live with the abiding peace of God. It's a paradox. How can it be that I desire it and God wants to give it to me, but I don't live with it in my life? Is that true for you? Think about this. Does this affect you and your heart and your life right now? You want peace? You want peace? Raise your hand. You want peace? I know you do. We all do. Even slow hand raisers want peace. We all want peace. We want peace. And God wants to give us peace. Jesus says, my peace I give you at all times and in every way that you could be in my presence and have my peace. But so few people live with that abiding peace of God. By the way, I'm not the first pastor to mention this paradox of peace. One very famous pastor, Martin Luther King, actually preached a sermon on December 24th, that's Christmas Eve, 1967, 4 months before his death. He preached about peace and the paradox of peace. It's actually his term and not mine, but he preached about it. Listen to what Martin Luther King said about this paradox about peace. Here's his church right there, by the way. Ebenezer Baptist Church, that's the church where he was, and here's what he said in that sermon. Maybe a little more volume. I'll go back. We'll do it again. Here we go. Okay. He said this. I have his voice saying it, but I'm just going to say it for you. Sorry. One of the strangest things that all the great military geniuses of the world have talked about peace. The conquerors of old who came killing in pursuit of peace. Alexander, Julius Caesar, Charlemagne, and Napoleon were akin in seeking a peaceful world order. If you read Mein Kampf close enough, Hitler contended that everything he did in Germany was for peace. And the leaders of the world today talk eloquently about peace. What's the problem? They're all talking about peace, but no one has done the difficult work to achieve it. Here's the paradox I just mentioned. It's this. We all want peace, and God offers us peace, but so few people live with the abiding peace of God. Why? Here's why. Because we haven't done the difficult work to achieve it. Let me tell you right now. I just want to shift my focus to this one question. How do I receive the peace of God? I assembled in a little outline I put together 5 things that help us receive the peace of God. But I'm only going to give you 3 of the 5 things. The other 2, you're on your own. Search the scripture. Find it yourself. 3 of the 5 things that I identified. I just want to talk for a moment about these things. How do I receive the peace of God? Number one, understand this. Our peace comes from his presence. That's an amen moment for you. Our peace comes from his presence. What do I mean? I mean that we're kind of in our own emotional state and then we approach God through prayer. We approach God through worship. We approach God through serving others. We approach God in selfless things that we do. And as we approach God, his presence brings peace into our lives. We have the right as Christians to approach God. The Bible says this. Let us draw near. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance of faith that faith brings. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Or another translation says it like this. Let us go right in to the presence of God. We approach God through prayer and reading his word and serving others and in silence we meditate on God and we approach him. And as we come into God's presence, the natural result is peace. Now, some of you know this. Some people, they have a certain presence about them. And when you go up to them, you're affected by being in their presence. Some of them, they're really grumpy people. How many guys know a really grumpy person, right? And maybe you're feeling totally fine, and then you talk to your grumpy friend, and all of a sudden you're grumpy, right? You're affected by being in their presence. Or like my youngest brother, David. David's 13 years younger than me. David, we would play as kids, and we'd play in the house, and we're boys, so it would get rough. And it'd get rough, and David would get hurt. And David would get hurt, and he would get hurt playing, and he'd put his lip up, and he wouldn't cry. He'd be really tough until my mom came home, right? You know the story, right? Right? My mom came home. He hasn't cried all day. And 3 hours later, my mom comes home, and he just starts crying. Mom, I can't believe what happened. They pushed me down. Right? 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 Because my mom's presence, her presence said, come with your aches and pains, and I'll band-aid you up, and I'll kiss away your boo-boos. And that was who she was, right? That was my mom's presence brought out tears, right? She's wonderful and loving, and he was tough until he got in my mom's presence, and then he just melted. I met my wife in this room, in this very room. We had, in that day, when I talked to her the first time, December 7th, 1996, There was a middle aisle right here. It's Christmas. It was like today. We had a Christmas thing in the evening after church, and it was that Christmas thing in the evening. And there was an aisle in the middle, and I was walking this way, and there she was, that girl I kind of had my eye on. And she's walking down the center aisle, and right in the middle between me walking this way, her walking that way, was my dad. And my dad knew I had a little crush on her, so my dad did this. Jeff Pound did this. He grabs her arm, and he grabs my arm, and he says, "Why don't you two talk?" Right? And then he walks off. And right there in her presence, my heart started beating fast, like, you know, here's that girl I've been looking at, I've been staring at. One time I almost ran into her a few months earlier getting coffee out in the hallway. That was embarrassing, let me tell you. But her presence affected me. And let me tell you this, when you go into God's presence, it affects you. Amen? How does it affect you? It's peace. It's peace that comes upon you as you approach God through prayer and worship and service and all the things that God calls you to do. I'm going to give you a quote from a Bible scholar. R.V.G. Tasker was a Bible scholar of the last century, lived in London. Here's what he says. "We know that our Heavenly Father extends to us a standing invitation to draw close to himself, which no experience of joy or sorrow and no condition of prosperity or adversity has any power to cancel. The shed blood of Jesus has opened the way of direct access into the divine presence, and that way is never barred." Do you believe that? Do you believe that you have a standing invitation from God himself? Approach. Come into my presence. No experience of joy or sorrow, no condition of prosperity or adversity has the power to cancel that invitation. Friday morning, I came in to do Haley's funeral. And I was in sorrow, that's for sure. I was very upset. And I sat down in my office and I took out my prayer journal right here and I opened it up and you can read it. It says, "God, I need you. I can't do this in my own strength. I can't do it myself. I need you." And right there in my office, that way was opened up into the divine presence of God and his peace overtook me. Have you been there, right? Has it happened to you? Have you pressed on from worry, frustration, sorrow, anger into the divine presence of God and have the fire of God melt everything away except God's peace? If you haven't, why not? You've got a standing invitation. Here's why. It's difficult. It's hard. We love to distract ourselves. We love to think about other things. We love to take our mind off our trouble by X, Y, Z. But you know what? The path to peace is Jesus Christ. Draw near to his presence. Number one, we draw near to him. Let me just say something to you. I really hope this is your takeaway from today. What if you understood that these emotions were simply prompts to pray? Oh, it says pre, sorry. To press was the idea I had, but my screen's really small up there when I typed it. Sorry, this is a new slide for today. Just pretend like it says press. To press into God's presence. 11 o'clock folks will never know this happened. Okay, let's keep going. What if these emotions were prompts, fear? What if you had fear and it was a prompt? Oh, I'm afraid. That means I should pray. Oh, wait a minute. I have anxiety. That means I should pray. It's a prompt to go into God's presence. My worry is a prompt that says, get on your knees, it's time for peace. My frustration is a prompt to pray. My anger is a prompt to pray. My sorrow is a prompt that says to my soul, it's time to pray. Number one, if you want God's peace, press into his presence. Come, draw near to him. The way is never barred. Number two, we have peace as we understand our position as children of God. Understand this. The Bible is so clear about this. Romans 8:15. The spirit you receive does not make you slaves that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit that you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. I don't know if you had this experience, but I had an exceptional father. And I could go to my dad. I could go to him. And I knew he's going to take care of whatever issue was there. He's going to take care of it because he was strong and he was kind. And our Father God is infinitely strong and he is infinitely kind. And God is there to take care of us. And maybe you're looking at this and saying, Tom, I don't know about this one. Because it seems like we live in a world that's scary and dangerous. And in this fallen world, terrorism can happen. And in this fallen world, two young people's bodies can be crushed and the life can go out of them. How is it possible that I can trust God in this scary world and have peace? Let me just say one thing about this that I said on Friday at Haley's funeral. I said every one of us wished that the hand of Jesus would come down and would have taken the wheel of that car and straightened it out and they wouldn't have been hurt. But you know what? That didn't happen. But the hand of Jesus did come down and stretch out on that cross and take that nail for us. And the sin of mankind was placed upon him and he died and he rose again that we could have life. That's how we trust our Father God. He is ultimately taking care of every need that we have. Amen. And the last one, and this is kind of my ending point today. How do we have peace? We draw into God's presence. How do we have peace? We have peace. We understand our position as children of God. My Abba Father is in control and he's going to take care of things. And so I have peace. And then number three is this one. We have peace as we understand our peace was purchased by him. Understand. That's how I have peace. I understand it. I can have peace not because I deserve it. I didn't do anything to have God's peace. You know what? It was purchased for me. Someone else bought the peace of God for me. And that person was Jesus Christ. Here's what it says. Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Does it affect you to know that the peace of God has already been purchased for you by Jesus Christ and it's waiting for you to come get it? Here's Jesus right here walking through the streets of Jerusalem. Here's Jesus on the cross. He's purchasing salvation for us, forgiveness of our sins. If we repent and have faith, we have forgiveness. But we also have the ability to have peace in our lives. Do you believe that? Look at the verse again. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Now, there's something that Jesus did to remind us that he purchased salvation for us and peace right along with it. In the upper room, the disciples were there. You can see I'm getting my self-contained communion unit right here in my hand. The disciples were there in the upper room, and he taught them this thing. Matthew 26, he said, while they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples saying, take and eat, this is my body. If you take that self-contained communion unit, I just like saying that. There's gonna be two different tabs. This is why we're gonna never this again, because these two tabs. But pull back that first tab, if you would, and just take out that little piece of unleavened bread, just right there. And I want you to look at that piece of bread, that little round piece of unleavened bread. If you spilled the juice on yourself, I'm so sorry. And I want you to take that little piece of bread and I want you to break it right there in your hands. Because that's what Jesus did. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples saying, take and eat. This is my body. Father, we thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you that his body came to earth and that he lived and dwelt among us. We thank you that he was God in the flesh and this body was the flesh, God, that he had. And we thank you that his body was broken, purchasing for us salvation and the forgiveness of our sins, but purchasing for us an ability to know you and to have your peace abiding in our lives. So, Father, we take his body now, remembering what was purchased for us on the cross. Amen. He then took the cup. Last time you ever have to do it, my friends, that was it. He took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave them saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Now I want you to stop right here. And I was actually envisioning some objections to this message. One objection would be, Tom, I don't think I can live with the peace of God. Why not? Because I don't think I deserve it. I don't think I deserve to live in that way. Let me tell you, you don't deserve it. It was purchased for you by the blood of Jesus Christ, that you could abide in God's peace. Another objection that I imagine was that someone would say, hey, Tom, this sermon about peace seems really selfish. Why are you talking to us about the peace we can have? Shouldn't you be talking to us about how we should go and share Christ and change the world? And you know what? Those sermons are coming. Don't worry. But I want you to know that when you know God's peace, you are transformed from the inside out. Amen? Because Jesus died for you and your sins were forgiven, and you should know that. Experience God's peace as it changes how you live. Purchased by the blood of Christ. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, for this little cup that we hold. Because we know that right now we are calling to mind your blood that was shed on the cross. And that you purchased for us salvation. And you purchased for us freedom. And you purchased for us peace. You were pierced for our transgressions. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we take this cup with the profound understanding that you are calling us to a new kind of life, the kind of life that Jesus lived, that we could have his peace. God, I pray that we would not be content to live lives of frustration and worry and anxiety. God, we have grace to know they're going to come. We're going to feel a little anxious and have a little anger from time to time, but we can't dwell in those emotions. Let our emotion, our overriding emotional base, be the peace of God at all times and in every way. And Father, we thank you that in purchasing our salvation, it means that though we have this treasure in jars of clay, this fragile life that we live here, our souls will inhabit heaven with you forever. We thank you and praise you, God. We love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. I just want to say one last thing. I just want to tell all of you that I love you very much. It is my great privilege to be your pastor. And in good times and bad times, we are a family together. We're going to sing one last song. I'd encourage you to stand if you would. And just openly worship God in this last song. I'm going to sneak around to the front and shake some hands. I'll see you out there.
fellowship here, and I do pray your heart is overwhelmed by His grace this morning. Pray that you felt that when you came in today. Pray that you've experienced it here through the message and through the singing and the worship. That's our prayer. That's why we come together every week as a family. If this is your first time here, I hope you had a great time. I'd love to meet you and answer any questions you may have. Just feel free to contact me. I'll be at the back of the worship center after this. If you're here, though, and if your heart is overwhelmed maybe by something else, maybe circumstances or maybe relationships or something is just not working in life, and you would like to have someone pray for you, we really want to encourage you. We want to offer that opportunity. We've got people in the back that would love to pray for you. Let us come alongside you in whatever circumstance you find yourself currently. We would love to do that. I promise you, they are gracious people. They love the Lord. They're very gentle. So maybe take that step of faith this morning. And the last thing I want to encourage you, we have a family gathering tonight. It's the holidays. This is a time when family gets together, and we are a faith family. And I really want to encourage you, if this is your first time, or if this is your 100th time, or if you've been here for 20 years, I want to encourage you, please come back tonight to our Christmas gathering. It is going to be great. There's even going to be a photo booth, okay? So come for that. There's going to be great food that many of you will bring. If you are curious about, hey, what am I supposed to bring? Please see the bulletin. Please check this out or go to our website. I believe it's something like names with last names A through L. Bring
A through K.
Thanks,
desserts. L through K, Z, desserts. Snacks or salty kind of stuff, yeah.
He not only knows a few songs, he's got this thing memorized too. How cool is that? Awesome. Thank you, Pastor Brad. I'm even holding the paper and I can't remember it. All right. We're a good team. So come to that tonight. It'll be a blast. It'll be a lot of fun for the kids and for the families. It's a great way to get to know people outside of this worship event. And I do want to say, you do have an incredible team of people serving here in this church. It has been amazing to watch them work this week. The pastors, the church staff, how they have come alongside, and then the church body that jumped in to help families at a time when they needed it. It's been inspiring for me to watch. And so I just want you to know that. They're great people. And so just know that. Let me pray for you as you go out. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your strength, your mercy. Lord, indeed you overwhelm us. We are overwhelmed by your goodness, by your grace, by your compassion, and your love, your unconditional love. So Lord, as my brothers and sisters go out, I pray that you would go with them and that you would strengthen them for their day, that you would bless their families. And Lord, bless our gathering tonight. We want it to be something that is a blessing to others. We want it to be something that you just look down on and you enjoy watching your people gather informally. Lord, we love you and we trust you. In Christ's name, amen. Have a great day, guys. Thank you.